So Far From Home, The Diary of Mary Driscoll, An Irish Mill Girl, by Barry Denenberg, pages 84 to 103. Sunday, August 8th, 1847, Lowell. After Mass, I went to walk in the woods near the canal. I came upon Annie Clark. I think we were both surprised. I would have liked to turn away, but the narrowness of the path did not allow for that. "Good morning, Mary Driscoll," she said. "We discovered that this is our favorite path. In weeks past, we must have missed each other only by a matter of minutes. We fell to talking easily. Annie told me she thinks I am catching on nicely. That's how she put it, catching on nicely. She has such a fine way of talking. I told her that I was nervous at first, but that I am feeling more comfortable each day. She is going to leave me on my own soon. She wanted to know if I missed Ireland, if 'twas hard coming to a new country, if I liked America. So many questions. Truth is, I'm not certain. Not yet about America, and that's what I told her. She said I was a spunky one when I told her that. Annie comes from the state of Maine. I asked her if she misses home. She doesn't. She likes being on her own. 'Twas late afternoon before I knew it. The air had turned cold and damp. Annie has invited me to supper at the boarding house next Sunday. I said yes, but now I have only regrets. What will I say? What will I wear? Annie always dresses so prettily, as do the other girls, and my clothes are so ragged. I told Aunt Nora about going to Annie Clark's boarding house. She says I should worry about tomorrow. She says I should worry about tomorrow. 'Tis good advice, but I'm not sure I'm up to it. Friday, August 13th, 1847, Lowell. Mr. Byrnes, the teacher who hit Liam O'Neill, was found dead yesterday morning. He fell from the roof of St. Patrick's. 'Tis a mystery what he was doing up there, or how he fell. Aunt Nora sang a tune all evening while I helped her cut and peel the potatoes. Sunday, August 15th, 1847, Lowell. All the boarding houses on Dunton Street look the same. Annie's is the sixth one from the corner, so I counted and knocked. I hummed while I waited and prayed for the Blessed Virgin to help me. The door was opened by Mrs. Jackson, the boarding house keeper. She shook me by the arm and pulled me into the hall, saying I could use some flesh on my bare bones. The bonnets and shawls that all the Yankee girls wear hung neatly from the hooks on the hallway wall. Near them was a list of the rules the girls were to follow. My girls, Mrs. Jackson said, are just now coming down. Indeed they were. Doors were slamming closed, and I could hear them on the stairs. All the girls seemed to be talking at once. Sounded like a flock of screaming seagulls, they did. When I saw Annie, she squeezed my hand and whispered, "Just do as I do." I hurried along and sat down next to her at one of the two large tables the girls were crowding around. They began passing large platters of boiled beef, potatoes, and steaming bowls of cabbage and vegetables. Everyone helped themselves to bread and crackers and gobbled down their food faster than I thought possible. American girls do everything quickly. They were all dressed with care and fixed their hair so neatly. I don't know how they do it. Annie was wearing a plain blue dress and black slippers. Many of the girls were dressed fancier than Annie, but none shone as brightly. Like a fairy tale princess she is. Annie introduced me to the other girls at the table: Ruth Shatnick, Eunice Currier, Laura Austin, and Clarista Burroughs. I have seen Clarista Burroughs before with Annie. 'Twas that first day, I remember now, when Annie showed me where I could eat. Clarista Burroughs was watching us, but she didn't see me seeing her. Ruth, Eunice, and Laura are all kindly in manner. You could tell they were trying to make me feel at home. Laura asked me how I like millwork. 'Tis fine, I told her. She has a steady gaze, and her eyes can bore a hole through you. She wanted to know what is fine about it. Truth is, I was hoping not to have to do much talking. Not with all those finely dressed Yankee girls listening, but Laura's voice was as calm and as steady as her gaze. I knew she would be satisfied until I told her. So I explained that the mills paid steady and good and that I planned to earn enough money to send for Ma and Da. That made Clarissa Burroughs laugh. I know the Yankee girls think I talk funny. Laura Austin went on as if nothing had happened. She said she can see why Annie likes me. 'Twas nice of her to say, especially in front of the other girls. I think Laura Austin was being nice because of Clarissa Burroughs. Ruth asked if 'tis hard with all the new things I have to learn. I said that Annie is a good and patient teacher, which made Ruth laugh, though not the way Clarissa Burroughs did. Ruth was Annie's teacher when Annie first came to the Mills. Then Ruth got a faraway look in her eyes. Did I miss being home? She was asking. I didn't think she heard me say there isn't much time left in the day for missing home. Ruth has been working in the Mills for 5 years. She misses her home and family. She has not been home for a visit all year. She said all this in a dreamy way. Clarissa Burroughs wet her lips with a tip of her tongue and plays with her long black hair while she talks. You can tell she thinks she's prettier than she is. Truth is, she's harsh looking. She watched me like a hawk the whole night. Didn't take her eyes off me, not even while she was talking to Annie. She's a crooked one, that Clarissa Burroughs. If she swallowed a knitting needle, 'twould come out a corkscrew. Clarissa Burroughs and Annie Clark are as different as night and day. How they can be friends is a mystery to me. I have never eaten so much food. My plate was bare, but then came dessert, coffee, tea, blueberry pie, and ice cream. To be sure, ice cream is so much better than potatoes. I wanted to take some home to Aunt Nora. 'Twas that good. After dinner, the tables were cleared and placed against the walls. Mrs. Jackson brought out a pot of tea, then went into her room. Ruth went upstairs to write some letters. I stayed and sat with Annie and the other girls. Laura talked with two girls about a book they were reading, while Clarissa boasted about a lecture she had been to. The other girls read or sewed or looked at magazines. 'Twas hard for me to understand what they were talking about. They all have the well way of talking, so fast and so sure. I don't have enough learning to keep up. Annie wanted to show me her room. Clarissa came with us. I think she just didn't want Annie and me to be alone. Annie shares her room with Ruth, Laura, and Clarissa. 'Tis filled with beds, trunks, and bandboxes of all shapes and sizes. There is little room to spare. They use the trunks for seats and the bandboxes as writing tables. The ceiling slopes down so much that we could only stand in the middle of the room. Clarissa looked at the gold watch she wears and reminded Annie 'twas nearing 10 o'clock. The doors have to be locked then because of the curfew. Clarissa said she was sure I didn't want to be stuck there all night. Just as we reached the front hall, Ruth Shatnut came running down the stairs, calling that she hoped I would visit them again soon. 'Twas nice of her to say so. She reminds me of Marine. Marine's dreamy too. Ruth has a pure heart, Annie said when we were outside, perhaps too pure. I was about to be asking what she meant, but she told me to go, 'twas late enough. The night was as black as can be. I could not see my hand in front of my face. As I came to the acre, I quickened my pace. Lately there has been much strife between neighboring clans. You would think they would have left these feuds back in Ireland. The Irish boys are forever throwing stones at each other over one slate or another. On my way home, I spied one of the constables patrolling the area. I was fortunate that I did not encounter any difficulty. I slept little, thinking about my first American friend. Monday, August 16th, 1847, Lowell. Mr. Byron's was buried all day. Aunt Nora said you should never dig a grave on a Monday. Wednesday, August 18th, 1847, Lowell. Lord have mercy, I didn't see how we can all fit into the acre. There are already too many of us, and more Irish arrive each day. Aunt Nora and I were seeing how our wee neighbor Fiona Buckley is faring. She was walking down from Dublin from... She was walking home down Dublin Street last night and got caught in the middle of some Irish lads. They hit her in the head with one of their stones, and the poor girl bruised her knee, and she ran and fell. The Buckleys live at the end of a narrow lane in a tar paper shack, not a wood house like Aunt Nora's. They don't even have windows to let in the light. There was a piece of horseshoe nailed by the door. Aunt Nora says to keep bad spirits from entering the house. Father Callahan was there when we arrived, seeing the poor girl. She was sleeping soundly, and he said she was more frightened than anything else. I think he said that to quiet Mrs. Buckley, who can blame her for weeping. Fiona is but a child. So many people live with Fiona Buckley that there is barely room to stand. Fiona sleeps in a bed with her sister, Kathleen, and six others. The rest sleep on the floor. We told Mrs. Buckley that we would be visiting again soon. Mrs. Buckley just sat in the corner. He is as odd looking. Mr. Buckley just sat in the corner. He is as odd looking as two left feet, that one. His black hair is plastered down, so it looks like 'twould crack into 1,000 pieces if you hit him with a hammer. I told Aunt Nora that on the way home, and we had a good laugh. Thursday, August 19th, 1847, Lowell. Aunt Nora claims to have knowledge of the future. She sees grave events looming on the horizon for me. Soon I will be faced with an important decision. When the wheel has come full circle, she said. "'Tis putting a fright into me. This kind of talk. She was preparing to tell me more, and I put a stop to it. I have no need to see her into the future. The present is quite enough. If you don't mind, I told her, I wanted my life to unfold at its own pace. She smiled and said, so it will, dearest Mary, so it will. Sometimes Aunt Nora gives me the chills. Friday, August 20th, 1847, Lowell. I saw Eunice Currier today. She works in the dressing room where the cloth is finished, and lucky she is. The air is cleaner, and there is much less noise than in the spinning room. If I could work in the dressing room, I would get more pay. But no Irish girls work there, only Yankee girls. Annie Clark invited me to visit the shops with her and Laura Austin tomorrow. I could barely stop from throwing my arms around her. Having Annie has made the world seem brighter. She warned me that she and Laura usually don't buy anything. They just go to look. That suits me fine. Monday is my first payday, and I'm sure I have no money to spare, even if I should be paid at this very instant. Saturday, August 21st, 1847, Lowell. 'Tis a fine day, the sun's shining, the blue sky, and the trees trying to turn red and orange. The streets of Lowell are clean and made of stone. How different from the acre, where the streets are quick to turn to mud after a rain. Merrimack Street is so wide and straight that horses, wagons, and shiny black carriages parade up and down. There are fancy ladies riding in the carriages. They wear wide-brimmed straw bonnets, and their cheeks are painted red. I asked Laura and Annie why the fancy ladies paint their cheeks, and they both laughed. To attract their prey, Laura said. I must have looked puzzled. They are looking to snare a man, she said. Annie asked me if I thought they looked pretty. I wasn't sure of the right thing to say. I couldn't tell if they looked pretty or silly. I decided to be silent. Annie and Laura showed me the library and a grand hotel called the Merrimack House. We went to the depot just in time. A long line of cars was then pulling in. 'Twas like a giant iron serpent. How that one car pulls all the others is a mystery. The shops all look new. Their windows show what can be found inside. Dresses, shoes, boots, bonnets, combs, shawls, and jewelry. One store has jars of striped candy, chocolate, molasses, raisins, bread, crackers, and barrels of sugar, flour, and rice. In America, there is everything. My favorite store had a wooden doll sitting in the window with bright red lips and yellow hair. For a sad moment, I was thinking of the doll Sean got for Molly and Sophie. I wonder where they are. I hope they are safe, like in the dream. I hope Brendan and Sean are safe, too. 'Twould be nice to walk down Merrimack Street with Sean. I wonder if Laura and Annie would like him. Annie wanted to stop in the bookstore just for a look, she said. Laura tugged at my arm so we could lag behind. She whispered in my ear that Annie won't be able to resist buying a book. 'Tis a quick tongue Laura has and a ready smile to go with it. 'Twas like in a trance, Annie was. Once we were inside, she walked slowly by the books as if they were colorful birds, and she was choosing one for a pet. Pick one up, she would read it a bit and gently put it back down. I saw her draw one close and breathe deeply. Glad I was that Laura Austin wanted to be leaving. I stood the whole time, watching the people passing by the storefront window. I find people so much more interesting than books. And he did buy a book. Laura was right. Sunday, August 22nd, 1847. Lowell. Kate has come back. She was waiting when we returned from Mass. On and on she went about Rhode Island. Mrs. Abbott's sister is even richer than Mrs. Abbott. Their house is grander, and they have more servants. Thanks to the beaches and cool summer breezes, they did not suffer because of the heat. Blessed Mother, how relieved I was to hear that. Kate paints her cheeks now, just like the ladies in the carriages. Aunt Nora asked if she would be staying for supper. I was stirring the stew pot hanging over the fire. There was plenty. But Kate said she wanted to get back before dark. When she left, Aunt Nora said, "Those who travel seldom return wholly." Monday, August 23rd, 1847. Lowell. My first payday. 'Twas a long time to be waiting. 2 weeks before I was put on the payroll, and then pay is once a month. We lined up as soon as the closing bell rang. The line was so long, I feared they would run out of money by the time they came to me. When I reached the paymaster, he handed me my earnings. At last, how good it felt to hold it in my hands. I have given the money to Aunt Nora for safekeeping. She put it with the money she is setting aside from her teacher's pay. She counted how much we have. 'Tisn't as much as I'd hoped. 'Twill be a long time before we can send for Ma and Da. Tuesday, August 24th, 1847. Lowell. One of the girls in the weaving room was hurt today. God help her. A shuttle flew of the loom and hit her above the eye. I did not see her, but Laura says she was hurt badly. Knowing how fast those shuttles fly, 'tisn't a surprise to me. Laura works in the weaving room. She has been here 3 years. She says that the weaving room is even worse than the spinning room. 'Tis hotter and the noise is greater. 'Tis always hot in the mills. Today, two girls fainted before the noon bell. Laura says the corporation doesn't want the thread to become brittle and break. I asked if they worried that we might become brittle and break. Laura said the corporation won't allow water buckets in the room. They think we'll take too much time drinking water. Imagine, I am thirsty all the time now because my throat is so sore. 'Tis hard to breathe and the lint flies everywhere. I stand on the staircase just to get some air. My dress always soaks through, so do the other girls. Some tuck handkerchiefs in their sleeves, but I don't. 'Tisn't a help, they just become soaked too. Thursday, August 26th, 1847. Lowell. I went to work, even though I feel poorly. If I don't work, I don't get paid. Aunt Nora went to making raspberry leaves steeped in sugar-sweetened water. She gave it to me from her favorite tin cup. I am to gargle every evening for 3 days, and take walks in the countryside after Mass on Sundays. Aunt Nora said that she has seen too many girls get sick working in the mills. Fresh air, that's the ticket, she says. Sunday, 'tis walking with Annie I am. I will get some air then. Friday, August 27th, 1847. Lowell. Aunt Nora made me an onion boiled in milk. 'Twas good, and I am feeling a wee bit better. Saturday, August 28th, 1847. Lowell. I am writing to Mr. Quinn. No letter from him in some time. I want to know how Alice O'Donnell is and how Sean is faring. I wish he were here. Lord knows there is work for him. The Irish lads are building all over. Lowell. Working on the new canal, they are. Surely Sean could find work here. If only Annie and Laura could meet him. They would like each other. Now I am sure. They are all so true. Monday, August 30th, 1847. Lowell. Aunt Nora is in great pain. She had to have a tooth out. The top of the tooth came off. Wouldn't you know it? While the root remained, it took 25 pulls before 'twas over. So weak she was. She could not teach today. Aunt Nora doesn't like to miss school. The children mean the world to her. Her little scholars, she calls them. Mrs. Buckley watched over her until I returned from the mills. Mrs. Delaney was here all day, but 'tisn't saying much. I was glad to hear Fiona is feeling much better, though she is still afraid to walk down Dublin Street alone, and who's to blame her? My cough continues. I slept little and was tired in the morning.